Chapter 26 Tequila. Buck collected his luggage and then joined them in their private car. He knew that he was making a big mistake, but he just could not stop himself. Once the train pulled away from the station, Buck sat in one of the overstuffed chairs in the lounge, trying to focus on things outside the window. His thoughts, however, were only of Allison. Her presence was so distracting that he did not hear Luke when he asked him what he had been up to these last few years. Buck had to have him repeat the question. Buck then told them about visiting his parents' graves and buying back the family farm. He went on to tell that he had grown bored with farm life and was setting out to find some sort of adventure.
So are you going back to being a cowboy?
I'm not sure where I'm going, to be honest with you.
Staring once more into those lovely eyes. Had he the chance to change his decision, Buck doubted that the outcome would have been any different. If he should never get to actually hold Allison in his arms, being in her company was enough for now. Perhaps one day he would make her his. But Buck promised himself that he would do nothing to come between Allison and Luke, no matter how it made him suffer. Unfortunately, suffer was too poor a word to describe the pain Buck experienced the next few weeks. To be so near perfection and be denied the warmth of her body was a pain he would wish on no man. The muffled moans coming from their sleeping compartment next to his were like daggers plunging into his heart. He pulled the pillow tightly over his ears to try to drown out their passion, wishing all the while that he was the one causing her to moan. Buck had to keep reminding himself that he had no right to feel this way, yet he could not help himself. After spending time with them in San Francisco, going to lavish parties and seeing all the sights, Buck suddenly set out for Mexico. Perhaps there he could drown his sorrow in tequila. At least he would be putting some distance between he and Allison. The temptation of ripping her from Luke's arms and dragging her off somewhere was getting harder to resist. Buck was only able to leave Allison after what she had said to him their last night together. The three of them were at yet another fancy dinner party when a rather attractive older woman started openly flirting with Buck. He was polite, but did not give this woman any encouragement. When Allison saw what was going on, she leaned nearer and then asked coldly,
"Why don't you accept her advances? You'd like them older, as I recall."
Her words brought back a flood of shameful memories of his indiscretions with her mother. Buck and Mrs. Warner had wounded Allison's father deeply with their lustful behavior. Neither Allison nor her father had been blind. Buck now had an idea how Mr. Warner must have felt, seeing someone you treasured in another man's arms. Were Buck's immoral cravings a cause of another's life to end? God, he hoped not. The look in Allison's eyes pained him more than an arrow through his heart. Buck left the party without saying another word. Luke followed him to the street and asked what was wrong. Buck dismissed Luke's question with a wave of his hand without looking back. He then went straight to their hotel, gathered his things, and left. Buck's trip across Mexico was one drunken whoring orgy. He only vaguely remembered crossing the Rio Grande at El Paso into Texas and heading north. Buck arrived at the ranch a little after daybreak. He could smell Bob's coffee half a mile away. Buck had a desperate need of some of this strong brew to finish clearing his head. Bob and Hank were always early risers, unless they had spent the previous night in town. From the smell of the bacon frying, it was obvious his friends had not made a visit last night. As Buck neared the house, a shot rang out, and his hat flew off his head. Instinctively, Buck dropped to the ground and drew his pistol.
"Who the hell are you trying to kill?"
Buck shouted as he aimed his gun toward the door. From inside the house, he heard Bob Harper call out,
"Buck, is that you, boy?"
"Damn straight it's me. What's with all the shooting?"
"Get low and get yourself in here, son."
Buck ran to the door, bent over, trying to make himself as small a target as possible. Once inside, Bob filled him in on what had been happening the last few days. The short version of Bob's long-winded tale was that Hank had shot and killed a rancher named Howard Bowie over a game of stud poker. Bob swore the other man drew first, but Bowie's four sons were not interested in the details. The fact that their father was dead was all that mattered to them. The sons had come out to the ranch seeking revenge, hiding in the underbrush and shooting at anything that moved. When Buck asked about Hank, Bob said,
"He's propped up next to a back window, watching that side of the house. Damn fool got himself shot in the leg trying to get us some water from the well."
Buck rushed into the back room to check on Hank. He was slumped forward in a chair, and Buck thought for a moment that he might be dead. When Buck leaned near to see if he was still breathing, Hank stuck his pistol against Buck's chest and cocked a hammer.
"You better not shoot me, you old fart."
"That you, Buck?"
"If it had been one of those brothers, you'd be a dead man now. Some damn lookout you are."
"Damn. I must have nodded off. We ain't slept for days."
"You lay yourself down in that bed over there and rest some. I'll stand watch."
"Maybe just a short nap. I am feeling awful tired."
Buck helped Hank to the bed and he fell instantly into a deep sleep. It was late afternoon before Hank awoke. Bob helped him sit up and was able to get a little coffee down him. It had taken the last of their water to brew it. After a bit, he looked over at Buck and asked,
"What the hell you been up to, boy? You look like something the damn cat dragged in."
"You don't look like you're ready for no church picnic yourself."
"Seriously, son, you look like you've fallen on some hard times."
"Just tried to flush a pretty woman out of my heart with tequila."
"Did it work?"
"Don't know yet. I don't think I'm sober enough yet to tell for sure."
"Drinking don't make your troubles go away, son. You just hide them for a spell."
"Well, drinking sure as hell ain't gonna make the trouble you got here go away."
"Them boys sure are mad about the fall. Reckon I'd feel the same if it were mine."
"Either you knotheads tried talking to them?"
"Them boys never give us a chance. They just been shooting at us."
"Care if I give it a try?"
"You can if you want to, but they seem pretty damn set on killing me."
As he looked down at the bloody bandage on his leg.